Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. You have heard it said several times that the season of Lent is a pilgrimage, a journey to the cross on Good Friday and the empty tomb on Easter Sunday. Lent is reflective of our Christian lives, which are indeed a journey through life and death to resurrection and eternal life. But the first 3 weeks of this Lenten season have reminded us that our journey home to heaven is no walk in the park. We shouldn't imagine ourselves strolling leisurely through meadows and forests, taking time to stop and smell the flowers and listen to the birds. No, this journey is far more like the flight of refugees through a war-torn countryside, like those images that are sadly filling our news feeds today. Or better said, it is like the exodus of the children of Israel, former captives, fleeing a hostile and wicked ruler, passing through enemy territory. The kingdom through which we Christians sojourn is the kingdom Satan founded. And again, as we have heard throughout the season of Lent, he is fully aware that we are fleeing his territory. That's why he seeks to take us captive once again, through deception, through misleading us with temptations of every kind, as he did our Lord Jesus in the wilderness. That's why he attacks and oppresses us, no matter who we are, as he did the daughter of the Canaanite woman and the man rendered mute. Who among us can stop these devilish attacks? On earth is not his equal. The devil truly is a strong man. His armor is trustworthy. He is fully armed. His armor, his weapons, and allies include the sinful flesh, the corrupt heart inclined to all evil thoughts and desires, the world, all its pleasures, riches, glories, and wisdom, false belief, whether the false gods of the pagans or the materialism of the atheists. Sin, both great and small, known and unknown, things done or left undone. Finally, death, whose power and victory and sting are universal and insurmountable. Satan and his kingdom have been at war with God since practically the beginning. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, everything was very good according to God's own declaration. But when Satan rebelled against God's goodness and fell from his kingdom, then the devil's kingdom was founded, a kingdom of which he is the leader, head, prince, and king, of which the demons, that is, the fallen angels, and indeed, the entire human race by nature are citizens. And this kingdom of Satan has no basis, no principle, other than complete and utter opposition to God and his will and his ways. Satan's kingdom only exists to contradict God. In his kingdom, down is up, left is right, good is evil, and evil is good. Just consider our Old Testament lesson today. The prophet Jeremiah was sent by the gracious and merciful Lord to the rebellious people of Judah, that they might repent of their evil ways, and the Lord might stay his hand of wrath that was about to come upon them. This is good. God's mercy and forgiveness are good. But the people, even the priests and the prophets, took this message of repentance as the greatest evil. And they laid hold of Jeremiah and called for his death. We consider our gospel lesson today. Jesus was casting out a demon from a man who was rendered mute. What higher good could you do for a poor, afflicted soul than to exorcise the evil spirit from him? But those who saw Jesus do this did not consider his action, or even him, to be good. They accused him of being in league with Satan. He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. How backwards can you get? He who is perfectly good is called the servant of the evil one. Or just look around today. God's holy word is considered a man-made fiction that enslaves weak minds. The Ten Commandments, which themselves are good and wise, are dismissed as hopelessly outdated. Godliness, Christian ethics, are rejected as intolerant and inflammatory. The vile murder of the unborn and the aged are hailed as rights to be protected. Unspeakable things like promiscuity and homosexuality are considered lifestyles to be emulated and celebrated. All religions, even no religion at all, are held to be equal and valid. Good is evil, and evil is good in Satan's kingdom. And so the kingdom through which we journey is indeed a hostile kingdom, ruled by an evil king, whose sole purpose in life is to overthrow the good kingdom of God and to seize those former captives who are now fleeing from him. And that, dear Christian, that includes you. You were once a captive of Satan. All the worse, you were once a citizen of his kingdom. Ephesians chapter 2 states, "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and were by nature children of wrath like everyone else." From the fall of Adam on, every descendant of that first man is by nature a children of wrath, enslaved to the kingdom of the devil. The image of God is lost. He is tragically wounded in body and soul. He is shattered and corrupted. But all the worse, there still remains a part of you that is sympathetic to the devil and to his kingdom. Just like the children of Israel who pined for the meat pots and the bread that they ate while they were enslaved in Egypt. This is the old Adam, the sinful flesh, which you still have and you will have until the day you die. As I said before, one of Satan's most powerful allies is the sinful flesh of all people. And that includes the flesh of Christians. And that's why we often struggle to accept the will and word of God. That's why when we hear of God's wrath against sin, for example, as foretold and enacted in the book of Jeremiah, we wonder perhaps if God is being too harsh. That's why we hear of Jesus' interaction with the Canaanite woman and wonder why he must be so rude and insensitive toward her. That's why we look at those whom Scripture clearly condemns in our world today and wonder if perhaps we should be more loving, more tolerant, more accepting than the God of Holy Scripture seems to be. Yes, there is indeed an old Adam, a sinful flesh inside of every one of you. And he finds the devil and his ways more understandable than the ways of God. What are you to do with this old Adam? Should you indulge his impious questions? Should you feed his blasphemous thoughts? Certainly not. He is good only to be drowned and killed with all sins and evil desires. And that every single day. For you who are a Christian, you are no longer children of wrath. You are no longer children of darkness. You are now light in the Lord. You are now beloved children of God. For you have been delivered, rescued, from the kingdom of the strong man Satan by the one who is infinitely stronger, Jesus Christ our Lord. From the very moment Satan enslaved mankind in the Garden of Eden, God at once promised a Redeemer who would crush the serpent's head. And in the fullness of time, God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, sent his only begotten Son to attack Satan and to overcome him, to take away the armor in which he trusted, and to divide his spoil. In Christ alone, millions of souls have been torn away from this prince of darkness and brought back into God's kingdom of grace and glory. And every single day, all around the world, more and more sinners are being delivered out of darkness into light, from the power of Satan to God's blessed kingdom. But again, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are our ways His ways. His wisdom is folly to those who are perishing. The way that Jesus attacked and overcame the devil was not through might or force of strength, but through weakness, through suffering. He took away the armor in which Satan trusted by coming in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin to condemn sin in the flesh. Or as St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "For our sake God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." Jesus Himself became sin. He took into Himself all evil and died, that all sin and evil might die with Him. Jesus' words in our gospel lesson today are prophetic. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Satan was divided against himself, for Jesus was made sin and died. And so by sin and death, Satan's kingdom fell. It was once by a tree that the devil overcame and enslaved the human race in darkness. So also it was by a tree, the tree of the cross, that the devil himself was overcome, and life and light have been given to all mankind. It was by death that Satan robbed the image of God from man. So also it is by the death of Jesus Christ that the image of God is being restored. Truly the Son of God has taken away the armor in which the devil trusted. Satan is caught in his own trap. He is bound by his own chains. The strong man has been overcome by the stronger man. Satan is defeated. Jesus lives. The victory is won. And through water and the Word of God, you have been baptized into His victory. All of you who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. You were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too might walk in newness of life. And in fulfillment of Jesus' command to His apostles, the Holy Christian Church continues to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, for whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Day by day, through God's word and holy baptism, just like we will see in the very next service this morning, sinners are being delivered, rescued from darkness to light, from death to life, receiving the victory given by God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." You are free indeed, for Christ has freed you. You did not choose to walk out of Satan's prison by your own strength or merit. The Lord, in His infinite mercy and love, chose to deliver you. And so, as former captives, set free by the Lord of heaven, we make our way now to our heavenly home. And we must keep on moving. We cannot seek an alliance with this kingdom Satan founded by embracing, tolerating, or even just ignoring false teachings about God in pursuit of a greater good, or by making friends with the unbelieving world to gain an advantage for our church. No. The church cannot ally herself with anything that is evil without separating herself from Christ, the head. Nor can we seek neutrality while dwelling among the devil's kingdom. Jesus said, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." Satan indeed is a roaring lion prowling around. You may try to ignore or be indifferent toward him, but he will not ignore you. He would devour you. But he has been conquered by a mightier lion, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so our victory over the devil comes only from remaining united to Christ. Nor can we content ourselves simply with being delivered from the prison of Satan. As Jesus tells us today, to cast out evil is not good enough. It must be replaced by what is good and godly. If the house of our soul is simply swept clean and put in order, then it is just vacant, waiting for a horde of evil spirits to come and make the state of slavery all the worse for the sinner. That's why the ancient baptismal rites began with these words, words that we still hear today. Depart, O unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The only thing that can keep Satan and his demons out is to put the triune God in. And this only happens through the faithful hearing of God's word, as Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. This third Sunday of Lent in ancient times was the Sunday of renunciation for those who were to be baptized on Easter. We hear these same words in our baptismal rite and in our rite of confirmation to this day. The one to be baptized or confirmed is asked, "Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?" The response is, of course, yes, I renounce him. And in ancient times, this renunciation was accompanied by an actual physical turning from west to east, from darkness to light, from the kingdom Satan founded to the kingdom of heaven that is our home above. The one to be baptized would turn his eyes away from Satan and turn his eyes toward the Lord. And thus, with eyes ever toward the Lord, we make our journey home. Yes, we walk in danger all the way. Temptations surround us on every side. Sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talk, crude joking, and many other sins and temptations besides. All of these threaten to rob us of our inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. But as those who have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, we walk as children of the light. We walk as imitators of God, walking in purity, generosity, wisdom, and mercy. We walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, in humility, in sacrifice, in thanksgiving. As these children of light, therefore, we walk until we reach our heavenly goal. But even as we walk as children of the light through this valley of sorrow to our Father in heaven, never forget what Jesus said. If it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Remember, God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. So it's still today that Jesus brings his heavenly kingdom upon us, that God's kingdom comes to us through the Spirit and the finger of God, that is to say, through the Word and the Holy Sacraments. For the word and the sacraments are nothing else but the finger of God that Jesus lays into our ears and upon our eyes and with which he touches our tongues. The power of the Holy Spirit is in these means. By these he works in us faith and rebirth, along with renewal, that we might be redeemed from the kingdom and power of the devil. In the end, this is the paradox of the season of Lent, that we look to the cross without forgetting that Jesus Christ is risen indeed. It's the paradox of the Christian life as well. We are pilgrims journeying to a heavenly home that God is already bringing to us here and now on earth. If you want to make it to that heavenly home safely, where God's kingdom comes and is received by sight, then you must make this church your home now, where God's kingdom comes and is received by faith. Truly many are the dangers through which we walk as children of light in this world of darkness. But as Jesus said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You are blessed indeed, for by that same word the Lord will rescue you from every evil deed and bring you safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.